Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
This podcast is sponsored by Freedom Mortgage, dedicated to veterans and their homeownership needs. Visit freedommortgage.com. NMLS 2767. Equal housing lender.
Good morning and welcome to the morning briefing for Friday, September 22nd, 2017. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is your producer, and if you thought we were going to take it easy on a Friday... You were wrong, shipmate, and that's enough of that song. We've got a great finale to the week coming your way today. First up, our VA reporter, Jonathan Kopanger. He's going to talk to us about some interesting VA food-related information that I'm going to guess you weren't aware of, because I sure wasn't until he brought it up to me this morning. Then, Jared Watson and Phil Briggs are going to give us the backstage info as they recap what went down backstage at Vets Aid 2017. They were at the concert to benefit veterans put on by the legendary Joe Walsh of the Eagles and featuring performances by the Zac Brown Band, Keith Urban, and Gary Clark Jr. Later, Joe Davis of the VFW will stop by to talk about an important issue that the Veterans of Foreign Wars is focused on, sequestration. It's a word that makes vets and the military shudder, and it's a word that we might be hearing again soon if something isn't done. Finally, Tim Jensen, Marine Corps vet and Chief Operating Officer of Grunt Style, is going to tell us how he made the transition from Devil Dog to one of the top dogs at the most successful veteran clothing brand in the nation. So if you were looking for a good way to finish off your week, well, then you, my friend, have come to the right place. And it all starts now as we welcome Jonathan Kopanger to the studio. Good morning, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing all right. And I understand that you're going to tell us about something food related at the VA. I didn't even know they did stuff with food.
I didn't know they did either. I was just nosing around yesterday and I found this on YouTube. I found a video of somebody from the VA cooking. Actually making healthy red velvet cupcakes.
Oh, which are actually just vanilla cupcakes with food coloring for those.
Well, there's lots of chocolate in there, actually. Trust me, I'll make you some.
Shady cupcakes, that's all they are.
But, so, they have, in a lot of VA medical centers, they have these, what they call healthy teaching kitchens.
Okay.
And so some of them even have gardens where they make their they grow their own food and they bring it in and they will give you demonstrations.
Right.
Sometimes they let you they'll teach you how to make healthy food. It's really just the dietitians that do this. So they also have a YouTube channel where you could watch the videos. And I did an article yesterday. It's on our website connectingvets.com. It's called "Can You Smell What the VA Is Cooking?"
Obviously.
You know what that's from.
I think The Rock is going to sue somebody.
So in it, there's a link to their YouTube page, but they also have two cookbooks. It's called Yummy Benefits Cookbook and Yummy Benefits Cookbook Version 2. It's not the most catchy name possible, but it's pretty good. I mean, I like cooking, and I looked at a few of the recipes. It's healthy. It's based on just keeping, you know, not eating junk food. In these test kitchens, they teach you how to deal with side effects of cancer, weight management. They'll teach you how to cook if you have gastrointestinal issues,
oh, wow,
diabetes, kidney issues. I mean, it's really just kind of a very cool thing. All you need to do, go to your medical center, ask to talk to a dietitian, and they'll take it from there.
And that's an important thing because, honestly, a lot of us veterans eat like garbage people when we get out of the military. I do it sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem is where I pick up my son at his school, there's a McDonald's right there, and he loves a Happy Meal. So we've made a deal where now on Mondays we get a Happy Meal after school. But still, that means I'm eating at, not the healthiest food at least once a week, although I try to get their healthier options. But there are a lot of us who balloon up to weights far beyond anything we ever were in the military. military.
Right.
I'm not looking great right now, but you know, it's one of those things that happens to a lot of us, and that the VA is out there looking out for people's health in this way I wasn't even aware of. So if people want to find this YouTube channel specifically, where would they go for that?
Go to connectingvets.com, click on my article. Can you smell what the VA is cooking? I've got the links in there. It'll take you right to it. Teach you a little bit about the healthy kitchens, and and I also have links to the cookbooks in here as well.
Which is awesome. You know, if you know how to cook healthy, you can make it taste pretty good. You can add in a little something that you might like to pop up the taste, because healthy food doesn't always taste the best, but sometimes it does.
Yeah.
Healthy music is always a good thing. By Jared Watson and Phil Briggs, both of our Connecting Vets team. Of course, we work to connect vets every day. And just a couple nights ago, the two of you got to connect with some vets and some world-famous musicians at the Vets Aid concert at Eagle Bank Arena. Backstage access, media passes. So we're going to find out what that whole experience was like.
No,
so, Jared, Phil, when you guys show up to Eagle Bank Arena and you're getting ready to go in there, what was that like?
It was a good day. You want to just kind of go chronologically through the day?
Because we rolled up and I think it was kind of strange when you pull up and you see all the cars there and then you realize, oh, wait a minute, this is a university, George Mason.
Mm.
So all those cars are
students.
Students that are kind of in the way. We need you guys to finish class, go somewhere else so that we can fill it up with people that are ready to rock.
Yeah, we rolled in at 3 o'clock before the show, 3 hours early, and the parking lot's just like you said, totally packed. And I'm thinking, holy cow, they're gonna have 100,000 people at this show. No, it wasn't
quite that.
It was a bunch of ticked off students that we were trying to chew up all the parking.
Yeah, but it worked out. I mean, logistically, it seems like something that would be a nightmare, but it didn't turn out to be that way. I just thought it was kind of different from any concert I've been to before.
And you might have seen a crowd like that early, because when we're talking about who performed at Vets Aid, we're talking about Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, people who are headed that direction. Joe Walsh, of course, best known for his work with the Eagles as well as his solo projects. The Zac Brown Band, Keith Urban, Gary Clark Jr. That's an impressive list, and you guys got to interact with them once you did get in there, right?
Yeah, let's go to the press conference.
Yeah, so we rolled in.
So we get there, we go to the press conference where we did see all the artists. It was kind of weird. Like, we thought they said there's a Q&A. So we thought, oh, cool, we're going to throw questions out. And I'm ready to ask Keith Urban, like, hey, who takes longer to get ready, you or Nicole? Or, Gary Clark Jr., like, what's your favorite barbecue in Texas or something? Because he likes
barbecue
and he's from Texas. Zac Brown Band, what do you bench? Because he's built like a fire hydrant. But
it was just Joe.
Sadly, Joe was the only one that
Joe's event. And it's the inaugural event that Joe really put a lot of time into. Right. So.
Totally.
We get it. We totally get it. What I love is, though, jumping forward just a little bit, is none of these artists mailed it in. I can promise you that.
Oh,
so that
geez.
Was great.
But wait till we get to the show descriptions.
Yeah.
Mind-blowing performances. But we went backstage quickly and actually went to Joe's dressing room, got to hang out with him for a hot second, ask him a couple really cool questions. And the coolest answer I think we got to a question was when we asked him, what's your advice, or what kind of words of wisdom can you give to a veteran that's feeling down right now, that's feeling like, their headspace maybe isn't right, they think they're fighting this struggle alone? What kind of inspiration can you give to that veteran? And he took a long, thoughtful pause and he just laid down. You got this on video, right?
Absolutely.
Really cool. Just spoke from the heart. I mean, to the point where, like, kind of misty-eyed, you're hearing Grandpa Joe Walsh talk like that, like father figure to rock and roll gods.
Right.
And he's sitting there saying, you're not alone, man. There's a lot of you guys out there between the coasts. You're in small towns. You start to pull away. You start to think that there's no help and that there's no end in sight and that life is just going to get worse. And he's here to tell you it's not. And there's so many people that are here for you. The clip, the segment, just very powerful. And it just speaks to how sincere he is about this cause.
And he's a big believer in the fact that concerts and live music themselves can change someone. And that's why he thinks that something like Vets Aid should exist, not only for the money that it can raise for all of the veterans organizations that are under this umbrella, but also because he believes that the veterans that come to that show have the opportunity to kind of get a release, to to leave feeling good, to interact with other veterans, to interact with other people at the show under that common bond of music, and go home with a smile on their face and kind of help with that headspace mm-hmm. issue that might be there for some veterans.
And of course, we're speaking about Vets Aid with Jared Watson and Phil Briggs from ConnectingVets.com, an event put on by Joe Walsh for who those who don't know is a Gold Star child, lost his father yep. in an airplane crash decades ago when he was just a few years old. I believe it was in the tail end of World War II or post-World War II era. It was in the 1940s, mm-hmm. shortly after he was born. You can find out more about that by visiting ConnectingVets.com, of course. And he put on this event because he is heavily involved with the veteran community and wants to continue helping out. Now let's talk about the event itself.
Okay.
The meat and potatoes of the issue is the fact that you had four amazing performers performing there. And, you know, we kind of talked offline a little bit about this where right. you go to a festival or a show like this, a promo show, and you expect, oh, somebody's going to come out, play their two or three biggest hits, get off the stage. Next guy comes on. Is that what happened out there?
Couldn't be no. more the opposite. Literally the only downside, and to a music fan it's not even a downside, but the only downside was every single artist, all four of them, played an entire hour just about. Wow. And they crushed it. I mean, it was like you couldn't leave early because just when you thought this, you're like, oh, okay, well, his set's going to be short. Everybody stepped up and gave you 40 plus minutes. I'll start real quick with just describing Gary Clark's set. Gary Clark, for those that don't know, is basically like Hendrix, Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah, yeah. That
all,
level.
Yeah. All woven into one guy. And when you, again, when we were sitting next to each other thinking about getting a beer, he'd go into some solo or some something, and it was just mind-blowing the level of effort he was putting into the show.
I haven't seen somebody play like that since, I mean, I remember seeing Kenny Wayne Shepherd Band open up for Leonard Skinner a long time ago. And Kenny Wayne Shepherd was one that can just riff and
just suck you in with how incredible his guitar playing was.
Yeah. And Gary Clark did that and more.
I'm pretty sure I heard a Hendrix cover in there. Yeah, I heard the one song that he's got that is either the Jim Beam commercial or the Jack Daniels commercial. I forget which one it is, but you've recognized you've heard his music if you've seen some of these
TV
commercials.
Even if you don't know.
But if you can just imagine Jimi Hendrix reincarnated on stage, that's what the first hour was. And then followed with Keith Urban. Your thoughts on Keith Urban?
Yeah, Keith did exactly what I expected. I mean, all the girls there were standing out dancing as soon as Keith came out screaming.
He's a beautiful man. A lot of people tell me I remind them of Keith Urban.
He liked to have fun with the crowd. There was some interaction, some back and forth with different parts of the music, as well as calling up a Navy SEAL on stage.
Oh yeah,
and had that moment, and then went into the song that he wrote for the movie Act of Valor,
right? Which was the movie that starred SEALs essentially,
exactly.
And told kind of a mission centric story, which kind of showed a little bit of what SEALs are all about. It wasn't the big Hollywood production that say Zero Dark 30 was. It was actual SEALs showing the kind of stuff that they would do. Basically.
And so that was a really, really touching moment.
And
I'm not gonna lie, I may have teared up a little bit. Not
and
gonna lie.
Can I get on like how they found that guy or whatever? I guess.
Oh, with the sign.
Yeah, right? Yeah. His kid was holding this sign and it had like lights or something on the sign.
Huh.
And it said, "Do you want to meet a real Navy SEAL?" And so Keith, just at the end of one of his songs or whatever, stops down and he goes, "What's that sign right there?" And he walks over there and you can see him peeking
that
out.
That impression
the crowd.
Was amazing, Phil. Have you ever thought about going to Australia and becoming a voiceover artist?
Right,
over
mate,
there?
Get up here. Are you a SEAL? Get up here. No, but.
It's like Paul Hogan is right in studio with us. It's not at all like Keith Urban is.
Not encouraging this at all.
So the guy comes up, though, and they had this real quick ad hoc conversation, totally spontaneous, says something about, like, and it's not just me. I don't just do this for me. I do it for my brother there, my brother-in-law, kind of points to his family, and he's like, and every one of my brothers out there in the crowd. Mm. And you're like, whoa, that was just – he's so well-spoken. Great sound clip right there. SEAL walks off stage. Keith goes into describing how he wrote the song for the movie, and it describes the act of a SEAL who basically a grenade is thrown
jumped
into their
the
area.
Yeah.
He jumps on it, giving his own life. And so Keith Urban says the mindset or the story behind this song is he's writing it from the perspective of that SEAL, explaining why he did what he did on his way into heaven.
Yeah.
That's pretty deep stuff.
it really was cool because I'd never heard that description. I'd never heard that song explained. And then he's playing it acoustically and it's just, you know, the emotions you just really feel right there. And then he goes into ripping it again, like a la Gary Clark. Keith Urban, hell of a guitarist.
Yeah.
I mean, he picked the pace up after that
I don't want to say that I was surprised, shredded. But I was a little bit surprised. He can play.
Yeah, dude, he's not just a pretty guy, man. He
don't get us
killed
wrong.
It.
He's a very pretty guy.
Yeah, I know. I saw the tweets Phil and stuff you guys were sending out last night.
I shook his hand.
Phil felt so insecure about it that he was asking people who was better looking and showing a picture of Keith Urban or himself.
Oh, wow.
And of course, there were some really good liars out there that made Phil feel better.
Phil, I don't know if you're winning that competition with me, let alone with Keith Urban. That's the problem.
Well, I don't think anyone's
so
winning that.
Keith Urban performs, and then the Zach Brown Band, who we know have been huge with the veteran community already and just built upon that at Vets Aid.
Yeah, but never my thing.
You've never seen him.
Right. I love country music. I haven't listened to a lot of new country. I've kind of backed away from it a little bit, but I will now own the Zach Brown Band catalog as of, I don't know, this afternoon, as soon as I start my Apple.
Jared, for people who don't know, is more of a Michael Bolton type of guy.
Yeah,
really
like,
celebrates that whole late 80s R&B thing that was going on.
Well, I will say this. It was insane how... It was explosive.
It was a pleasure to turn around and watch the look on your face a couple different times.
I was like, what is this?
Because you just said explosive. And, you know, I think everybody that knows country music knows how the Zach Brown Band jams. I mean, they're heavy. They're almost like a metal band at times. But to see you so surprised that this country band was going to come out and rock, and to that, they broke out their covers, you know, because Zach Brown loves doing some covers.
So much fun.
Zeppelin, he did Kashmir.
Oh, wow. We know how the song goes, Phil. Thank you, though.
I can't hold it.
I was waiting for you guys to cut me off.
Plant and Page, you two are... Why would we cut you off when we could let you embarrass yourself like that, right? Keep going. Right, there you go.
He did Kashmir. He did Devil Went Down to Georgia. And that's the one where I literally looked and your jaw was dropping because you're like, okay, I get it. Country band gonna do a little Charlie Daniels cover. Hell yeah. You know, keep it real.
Right.
No.
It was like everything in my eyes sped up, like everything was moving fast, but everything around me slowed down.
His version of that
was insane.
Is like riding a 1,000-pound freight train going 100 miles an hour. I mean, the thing is, they hit it so hard, so fast. They end the song like three times, and we all know the famous part about that song is the fiddle player just going off. The guy, his fiddle player, is like inhuman.
It's got like robot arms
so
and hands. I don't know.
Fast. Yeah. And then you hear the bass jamming and the big drop D chords, and it sounds like Metallica's backing up Charlie Daniels at one point. And they're just going and going and going and going and going and going. And just when you think it's going to stop, you know, Zach Brown's like, hey, let's do that one again. And then he just nails it again, and they end the song a second time, and you're just going, whoa. And then the cover that I didn't see coming, but apparently he's done this before. So I thought this might have been unique for just last night. But
Rico Suave by Gerardo?
Yes. He did Tupac. No.
Are you a moment ruiner?
That was my guess. I'm allowed to take a guess. I'm the host of the show.
Rico Suave.
Are arriva.
Arardo.
Gerardo. Yeah, he's still around.
Rico.
Not in music. He's doing stuff. Yeah.
Yes, we've gone off tracks. The cover that I was most impressed with that he has done in the past, but he really did it phenomenally last night for the Vets, and it was Bohemian Rhapsody, Queen.
Oh.
And, you know, every little part of it was covered perfectly with the heavy, punchy Zach Brown twist. I mean, the melodies, I'm just a poor boy, nobody loves me, and then the big bassy.
How does that go again, Phil?
This is Phil angry that he can't play the clips of the music.
I know, I can't play the damn clips. I can't use the music.
We know who Freddie Mercury is. We know everybody
like
knows how the song goes.
Bringing these people to the show, whoever's listening. Yeah. Is that realistic?
I mean, it is.
Very authentic.
Between
experience.
Between that dead-on Australian accent... Or were you trying to do...
In the past 10 minutes, everyone who's been listening has gotten to meet Keith Urban and see Zach Brown Band play Bohemian Rhapsody.
A lot of people don't realize
all through
it.
Vo- Phil's voice.
But Keith Urban actually sounds like Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins. Phil just brought you there and let you know that in reality, when he's off stage, he sounds like a Cockney chimney sweep and not an Australian country star. So you have these three perform. And then, of course, the man, the myth, the legend, the one behind the event, Joe Walsh of the Eagles. He's known for being an amazing performer. Joe gets on, closes out the show. And your overall opinions of the event, though.
Real quick, can we say one more thing before Joe comes on? Remember how he came on stage?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So funny story that we kind of knew parts of the story, and then we learned a new part of the story, correct?
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so when we talked to Joe, we said, was there a veteran that had made a big, significant impact on your life? Was there a veteran whose story you carry with you?
And he said, Phil Briggs.
And he's like, Phil Briggs was a Navy photographer, photojournalist, never
but
saw
it, in reality, it was someone even better known than Phil Briggs.
Doesn't know which end of the gun to even to load. You don't even load guns, I know. Shut up.
Go ahead.
Here's what I'm getting at.
How's Bohemian Rhapsody go again?
Anyway, the wind blows.
So he said that a very well-known veteran is someone who
He said the veteran whose life story has stuck with him and inspired him is Congressman Tammy Duckworth, now Senator Tammy Duckworth.
Right.
And he explains and tells the story about her Black Hawk helicopter going down and how, you know, she's working to, you know, save her crew and just with such valor goes through this horrific accident that takes her legs and makes that sacrifice for us. So he said that at one point she was running for office and asked him to get involved. And he did gladly, willingly, loved her cause, loved the vets. She found out that he's a Gold Star kid, so she like really had just a great friendship there. So getting to the show last night, just before Joe goes on, the lights come up on stage, and then boom, here comes Senator Tammy Duckworth wheeling out right there center stage and bring on Joe.
She comes out and tells this story of how she met Joe, and we're like, oh, we kind of know this story. But what we don't realize is that just on a whim, because of the humorous situation that she thought this would create, she was running against a guy named Joe Walsh.
Different Joe Walsh.
Yeah, first time running for office, first time running for Congress, and her opponent is Joe Walsh.
She thought it would be great if she could just, I'll shoot the Joe Walsh an email and see if he wants to come on board with us.
Oh, wow.
And she got a response.
And he was like,
and he was there. It's like, oh, this Joe Walsh, I've got the real Joe Walsh. Vote Tammy Duckworth. Like that's how it went, I guess.
We got to get our hands on that campaign ad because that had to be so cool. And
I bet that other Joe Walsh is no longer a Joe Walsh fan if he ever was.
Uses his middle name initial now and everything. Like, I don't want any connection.
Hey, are you related to Nope. No, I'm not.
Is that the Eagles you're playing, man? Turn that crap off.
Speaking of Michael Bolton, it's like that
office space. celebrate his entire catalog. Yeah. So it sounds like really an eventful and a fascinating night out there, and one that was for a great cause to raise money for veterans. Overall impressions of the event and of getting to interact with those musicians that you may have listened to before but never really seen up close and personal like this.
It'll happen again.
Oh yeah,
it'll happen again. Between the ticket sales and the shirts, which were another big revenue driving piece of this, the organizations that are involved that are getting this money, you can tell that it was successful.
Yeah,
I mean it just was. Everyone was there for the right reasons. The atmosphere was great. Everyone felt like your brother or your sister. You can spark a conversation with anyone, and that included the artists.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said both in the podcast that we have with our interview with him from a few weeks ago.
Which you can find on connectingvets.com.
Both in that interview and in some of the clips that we'll have on the website, I think, when you're done with your piece, Jared.
Yeah, I'm going to chop up some of the interview of Joe Walsh. We'll get that up.
He says in those pieces a couple times that he wants us to be like Farm Aid. And he actually played Farm Aid back in the 80s. So he knows well of the behemoth that Willie Nelson and John Mellencamp built, raising funds for the first one was in the 80s and they still do it today. So that's, what's that, like 20 years now they've been 30, doing Farm Aid?
30 plus years, I believe.
He wants this to be the same thing, cut from the same kind of template. And I think we're looking at witnessing the other night.
There's
the
no reason why it wouldn't be.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it's funny. There are times when stuff like this happens where you think to yourself, why has this not always been a thing?
Yeah.
Right.
And that thought in itself tells me that it's going to be successful.
Maybe he could get another band that played at Farm Aid to reunite in their original form, that being Guns N' Roses, who we learned recently played Farm Aid.
We joked about this, actually, but a lot of us in the press pool joked about it and said, yeah, Guns N' Roses back then, but Guns N' Roses today.
Yeah, we need to get Slash and Axl and all the real Guns N' Roses guys back together. If that happens, we'll have to wait and see. But if there's another Vets Aid, I can tell you that ConnectingVets.com is going to cover that, just like we did at this one. Phil, Jared, thank you so much for the work that you do, and thanks for coming in.
Yeah, we look forward to doing it again. And as always, bringing you the curious, the interesting, and the stories that revolve around rock and beer gardens. You'll have all these stories up at ConnectingVets.com.
You got any other songs you want to sing? Or don't even answer the question.
Kill the mic.
Kill his microphone. Kill cut it right now. Morning Briefing, back after this.
As a military veteran, you know there are things you and fellow vets understand and feel that others may not get.
That's where CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com comes in. Connecting Vets Every Day, a nationwide digital portal connecting military veterans to the information and advice we need to thrive.
Live daily briefings.
Informative and fun.
And all sorts of podcasts by veterans for veterans.
Sponsored by Freedom Mortgage and Harley-Davidson.
Welcome back to the Morning Briefing, Friday edition, September 22nd, 2017. Wake up. We want to thank you for waking up with us this morning. Myself, Eric Dame, your host, Jake Hughes, our producer on the other side of the glass. Of course, brought to you and powered by CBS Radio's ConnectingVets.com. Connecting Vets Every Day. And of course, connecting them via social media. We are at Connecting Vets on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, the Big Four, MySpace, still on the way. Tom isn't answering his emails these days. We told him we'd keep him in our top eight, but still, no answer. Anyway, follow us on there, at Connecting Vets on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. You can be kept up to date on the latest and greatest news and items of interest and information affecting the veteran community. Just a simple click of your mouse or a tap on your phone and your life will be improved immediately. Yeah, I guarantee it. I'm not putting anything into that guarantee because I don't really have anything to offer you other than fantastic conversations with interesting veterans, one of which is going to join us right now. He is a veteran of the United States Marine Corps and is currently serving as the Chief Operating Officer, or as they call it, the First Sergeant of Grunt Style, the most successful veteran-themed military clothing company started by a veteran in the United States of America. He is Tim Jensen, and he joins us now on the Morning Briefing. Tim, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be with you guys today. How is everybody?
I think it's a Friday, so we are excited. We love doing what we do. And on the day that you're heading into the weekend, you get to think about what you're not going to do. It's a great time for all of us, as I'm sure it is for you. Although I know the work never really stops over at Grunt Style. And of course, the work never stops in the Marine Corps where you serve. So, Tim, give us a little bit of your background. You know, where are you from? When did you join? And what did you do in the Corps?
Sure. So I currently live in the Chicago area now, but I joined the Marine Corps back in 97 in Raleigh, North Carolina. Went down to lovely Paris Island where they trained us real Marines and had a great time down there. And it was a really interesting experience, coming from that adolescent and that teenage years and into my professional career in serving in the military. I did active duty time in the 2nd Assault Amphibian Battalion. Got out in 2001, May 2001, and then started my reenlistment into the reserve unit here in Chicago that same year after September 11th, and then ended up deploying with Weapons Company 2nd Battalion 24th Marines to the Triangle of Death, Iraq in 2004-05.
You know, an interesting aspect that we seem to see with more and more veterans are those who, like you, I joined in 98, you joined in 97, you got out prior to September 11th and then ended up coming back into the reserves after September 11th. So it's almost like you had two different transition periods, going from active duty Marine Tim Jensen to veteran Tim Jensen in 2001 and then coming back in and then doing it again. What do you remember about those transition periods for yourself? Was that a difficult time? Did you have a pretty good time with it? What was it like for you?
That's an interesting thing. I think about this a lot. You know, my time in active duty was much different from my time in the reserves. And, you know, I keep coming back to the same thing. And I really believe it was just the time of being in garrison. A garrison Marine is much different from a combat Marine. Hmm. And the things that we were doing post 9/11 was in a completely different Marine Corps. And when I was out in the September 11th event occurred, the first feeling I felt was regret. And it was something that I've never really truly experienced before. It was a taste that just never sat well. And it really was my motivation to join back in the Marine Corps, because, you know, I didn't want to go off and see my brothers go off without me. And I just started that process again. And my entire time in the reserves, there's that stigma, you know, when you're active duty, you know, everybody bangs on the reservists.
Right.
But when I got into the reserve side and we were activated and, deployed out to Iraq, we were doing the same exact missions. We were treated the same. That stigma was removed, and we were just doing what we were all trained to do. And it was really an incredible experience, and especially being an NCO in that time period and leading Marines in combat was something that probably was part of the proudest moments of my life.
Now, for those who check out Grunt Style on social media, check out your social media profiles. I'm guessing that you're not still in the reserves by the glorious beard that you seem to be sporting these days. That seems to be a little bit out of regs for any service, let alone the Marine Corps. So what was it like, you know, finishing up overall with the Marine Corps and getting out and just, finishing your time in service? What was that period of time for you like, Tim?
Sure. After getting out of the Marine Corps, it was a bit strange. You know, you come back. I came back in 05. You come back, amped off of a really great deployment. Things just were kind of strange for me. I really had lost a bit of my task and my purpose and really what I was focused on. And started really coming down with survivor's guilt and all the brothers that I left back in Iraq. And it was a very difficult time period for me, to the point where I lost my family, I lost my children. And it was really difficult, but there was a moment where I made that change, where I psychologically said, this is not going to happen. I got to stop this behavior, this everything that's occurring. And then I found Grunt Style, and really, that has been probably one of the greatest healing portions of my life, since I've returned home. And it's working with an organization that truly understands the importance of task and purpose. I started out with the company folding shirts, went through and became a production operator, a lead production operator, production manager, operations manager, and I'm the chief operations officer. And I've been really blessed to be part of an organization that, is so receptive to bringing in veterans. And has made it a core belief that pride in self, pride in military, pride in country is something that those words actually have meaning. And it's just been truly a blessing to be part of such an incredible organization and part of an incredible team that I would put up against anybody right now. I would put my team against Under Armour and Nike, and we'd give them a run for their money.
We're speaking with Tim Jensen. He is the chief operating officer, or in the terms they use, the first sergeant up there at Grunt Style, based out of Illinois. He's a Marine Corps veteran as well. You know, Tim, you talked about just before you got to Grunt Style, you were at a very difficult point in your life. There was something that turned it around. But if you look at that period in your life, that period when you left the Marine Corps, what do you wish you knew now that you didn't know back then that kind of led to the issues that you had?
Ooh, that's a great question. I wish I had the resolve to really take a better look at myself and get ahead of some of the problems that I was experiencing. I think for a lot of guys that have been over both Afghanistan and Iraq, or, you know, we can go back you know, to the beginning of our country standing and those men and women that have served our country in a time of conflict. And really, we all see those trigger marks. We all see where we're going. And if I would have got ahead of that, I think life could have been, there's a lot of changes that could have been made during those dark periods. But, you know, hindsight being 2020, I can't help but say that, you know, there's no such things as coincidences. And I think that my map has led me to where I am today. And I had to go through those struggles to accomplish everything that I have right now in my life.
I think if people look at, you know, the videos, the YouTube videos on Grunt Style that you're featured in, if they follow and say like, oh man, this guy's a COO of this successful company, they can kind of get this image in their head and this belief that everything's just been rosy for you ever since you left the Marine Corps, but that's not the case, obviously. So how important do you think it is to let people know that along with the success, there have been struggles along the way?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the only way to truly grow is to fail. And, you know, you can't be afraid of failure. You know, the one thing that I really like to do when making, you know, big decisions is, you know, strike a line down a piece of paper, put the pros and cons, you know, calculate your risks. But no true endeavor goes without any bit of risk. And you have to look at that opportunity, evaluate that opportunity. And it was a risk for me. You know, when I came on the Grunt Style, I could have done many other different things. I could have went so many different directions, but I saw the opportunity that Grunt Style provided, and that was a huge risk. And I took a job where I was making, you know, a really great salary prior to going to a $10 an hour job, and worked from the bottom of that organization all the way through the top. And because I sensed and I knew and I could feel that opportunity that was right in front of me. And that's what really, you know, if you think about all the great things that this country has accomplished, it's opportunity. It's the individuals that are willing to take that risk and say, you know what, I know that this is going to be a very risky endeavor, and I'm willing to fail to make myself better. Those are the people that at the end of the day are the ones that grow faster than others. And I see that across the board at Grunt Style. There's so many individuals in our team that have taken these risks and have come out on the other side better individuals.
We're speaking with Tim Jensen. He is the Chief Operating Officer of Grunt Style, also a Marine Corps veteran. Now, Tim, you are a man, and as one man with a beautiful voice to another, game recognizes game, could have gone into any sort of industry, it would seem. I mean, just a talented, driven guy. But what was it? I mean, you've mentioned feeling that connection to Grunt Style, but what was it specifically that drew you away from the job that you had to taking that risk and starting over? What made you so confident that this was going to turn into what it in fact has turned into?
Good leadership. You know, it's one of those things in the civilian and the private industry, I think, that really does not exist, is the understanding and the values and the application of great leadership. You know, what Daniel has created at Grunt Style, the CEO, is a place where leaders can really persevere. You know, we understand that there's two things that make a great leader, you know, providing quantitative goals, and secondly, just giving them the resources to be successful. Everything else, you just stand, get out of the way, let the guys operate, let the leaders lead, and watch them develop. And then you make small little corrections along the way when you need to see little tweaks that have to occur. But other than that, it's leadership. And coming from the Marine Corps, you know, leadership is something that is extremely valuable to me, and something that I take great pride in myself. You know, being a sergeant of Marines, it was, you know, leading individuals was the greatest thing that I have done probably in my life. And now having that opportunity to lead again in the private sector has just been a godsend. And right now we are currently at 360 plus people at Grunt Style and continuing to grow.
And at Grunt Style, it seems like if people have an ability that shines through, they're given the opportunity to take advantage of that. And I want to ask a question to you, Tim, because today, when I picked up the phone and spoke to you very briefly before we came on air, I said, I think I recognize that voice. Are you Tim Jensen, the man behind the commercial of Grunt Style, the voice in the commercial?
My voice is lended in a lot of things that we do, absolutely.
What has that felt like? I'm thinking specifically of the commercial that I've seen airing at major sporting events, airing on network TV, the one with the wounded warrior who's actually running along, and we hear your voice behind it. You know, as a guy who started off folding T-shirts for Grunt Style, and now you're hearing your voice on television commercials broadcasting across the country. How does that feel for an old Marine?
Well, it's absolutely surreal. You know, of all the things, I can remember those early days, and I never would have thought that we would have gotten here to where we're at. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just the how quickly we've been able to capture this territory and continue to move forward. It's just been incredible. And, you know, it's funny because I have all my friends and my private life. They're, you know, they bang on me a lot because they're old salty Marines as well. And they rib me a lot on the, you know, we saw your commercial on NASCAR. We saw your commercial on UFC. And, you know, family events that we get together. You know, we're very close for a Marine family. The club shirt that had my face on the shirt drinking a beer, they tend to wear that shirt every time that we're together just to, you know, kind of dig at me a little more. It's just really weird, but I do enjoy it. More so that I'm just so happy that people are accepting the brand and what we're doing. And it really means a lot that to all of our fans that, give us feedback on the commercials and the product. And we couldn't be where we are without them, and we're really appreciative of the growth that we've been able to have over the last few years.
You know, we've spoken to members of the Grunt Style team, specifically Dan Alaric, the founder of Grunt Style, and it's been very interesting to find out how open you guys are to assisting other veteran companies and assisting other companies who are interested in working closely with veterans, assisting them with advice, if nothing else. So now that you're one of the top dogs over there, you are one of the administration of Grunt Style, the chief operating officer, Tim Jensen. If you were to speak to any company, whether they are veteran-started, not veteran-started, what would you say to them about the benefits of hiring veteran employees? Because it would seem that your fellow vets at Grunt Style are certainly a big part of the success that the company's had.
Oh, absolutely. The team is everything. You know, we in the command group talk a lot. You know, we are not the success of this company. It is everybody that we surround ourselves with that makes this team incredible. And what I would say to, you know, and what I have said to other employers out there that are looking to hire veterans is, you know, harness their capabilities, harness their ability to organize, harness their ability to provide task and purpose in assaulting missions that are laid out in front of them. What the veteran community really brings to the private industry is a different view that you would not see coming from individuals that are coming out of college. You know, they're getting a specific type of training where the military, we come from an applicable side of training where we are given leadership and core values that we have to operate under. And we take those and we mold those and it's like a sword. We sharpen it every day and really become more impactful in our abilities through application of the things that we learn. And bringing that to the private industry, you can just look across Grunt Style in every company that we have, you know, from our headquarters all the way down through our Charlie company. We've taken small unit leadership, given them the opportunity to lead their people and be successful and just watch them bloom. And now we have, you know, several teams in this business that are just operating to task and standard because we have the individuals in the place that can get it done and really have just relied on their organization that we've learned in the military. Like myself, you know, I have no business running a company. I don't have the background or the education from these big ivory schools and business colleges. I don't have any of that. What I have is, you know, 8 years of military experience. The Marine Corps is the epitome of lean, and I've taken everything I've learned from there and just applied it into the private industry. And, you know, I think that's been something that has been a great benefit to myself.
I think you're right in that the military is more results-based than theory-based. It's like they want to find what works and then do it instead of talking about what theoretically could work. It's about finding right. the right way and then repeating that way until success happens. And an interesting thing now, as the COO, as somebody who is has risen to that level, we hear some companies out there, some major companies saying, you know, we'd love to hire veterans, but we just don't know where to find them. We don't know what the veterans are looking for in a company. Do you buy that? Do you think that's a legit thing when we hear these Fortune 500 companies saying, well, we just can't find the veterans. We don't know where they are. They're hiding from us.
I would tell those people to call me, call Daniel, call Mike Burt, call our HR staff, because you know we have a very specific mission in our company to have a certain amount of percentage of veterans on staff, and we have been meeting that mission, and we do it well. I encourage those people to call us at Gruntstyle because that's what we want to do. We want to continue, you know, if we're not employing them at Gruntstyle, we want to give businesses the advice and the education on what the veteran can do and provide opportunities for the 22 million veterans across this country. You know, and by statistics, you know, a lot of us are unemployed. And, you know, I think that these conversations need to be had because what the private industry is could actually have is that the harnessing these individuals and bringing them into their institutions and seeing what force multipliers they are to their organization. And it's a win-win for everybody. The veteran has a job that they're very proud about. The company has somebody on their staff that is, a force multiplier to their team. And you couldn't have it any other way.
Okay, so let's say I am the CEO of Eric Corp, a company that makes nonsense, because that's what I deal with in most of the time. If I were to ask you, what will the immediate benefit of hiring a veteran be? What would you say to me?
The immediate benefit I would say that you would gain is somebody that is of extreme loyalty, you know, and think about that. Think about that just on its face value. Loyalty is something that you don't see much in anymore. You know, we've heard stories of people staying 30 years at a job and they, you know, get the retirement watch or whatever that is. Those things don't occur anymore. You know, people, you'll be lucky if you can have an individual on your staff for more than 3 years before they're bouncing onto their next job, trying to gain more experience and make themselves look more attractable to these larger businesses so they can earn more money. So that I think that whole idea of loyalty has kind of changed in the private industry. But what you would get from that veteran that comes on board is absolutely somebody that would be, you know, loyal to your institution, loyal to your business practices, loyal to the things that you do. And that in large is just a huge benefit that I would, really enjoy on our side. And we enjoy that every day.
I think there's some certainly accuracy to that. As someone who served for 13 years and then went to college in my 30s, a lot of my classmates were kind of planning on just being at a place, their first job out of school. They had their plan. They were going to be there for 18 months or so and then take the next step up. But it sounds like you feel that veterans, if you treat them right, if you treat them the right way, you're going to gain that sense of loyalty that you might not see from other people. Is that right?
100%. You know, nobody likes to be micromanaged, and if you put an individual in the right spot on the bus and you just let them perform, regardless if they're a veteran or not, but I'd like to be a little bit biased, and I think the veteran can do a little bit better. Those individuals are going to be off to the races. And, you know, in business, you know, a lot of people want to have that sense of security where I am and get that feeling where they feel that they are irreplaceable. I would say that's wrong. I would say that you want to be that guy that can be replaceable because then you've created a position that inside the company that is, you know, just a cog at that point. And then you've really created something special. Like you hear a lot, if you can go away from your job for 2 weeks and not get a phone call, that means you have an operating team, right? And that's important. And it's a very hard mindset for people to change out of to be, I want a job of security to, I'm in a job that I can be replaced at any moment. But for the greater institution of things and how the greater business works, if you're on that latter side to where you're in a position that you've managed to create for yourself that you can be replaceable, I would say that you're doing an excellent job because now you're helping in the betterment of the company to be successful.
We've been speaking with Tim Jensen, Chief Operating Officer, a.k.a. First Sergeant, over there at Grunt Style, based out of Illinois, doing wonderful things for the veteran community and having some success in business, in part because Tim's so good at cracking the whip over there and making sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to do. Now, Tim, if people want to find out more about Grunt Style, about your guys' mission, and about all the different things that you're doing, like I just recently saw that you guys have a NASCAR sponsorship coming and all sorts of other great things, where can they go to find out more about all that?
Well, we have several different areas, but I would first point everybody to gruntstyle.com. If you're interested in some possible employment with our team, check out gruntstyle.com. Down in the footer, there's a careers tab. We have several opportunities available for anybody from patriots to veterans. We're really excited about that expansion. We also, if you haven't noticed, have a very, very large social media platform. So you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchats, anywhere that there's a a social media presence. Grunt Style has already occupied that space, and I think we're doing a really, really well job of getting our message out in front of everybody in this country and more importantly, the world. And where we are at currently is really just making Grunt Style a household experience. And it's just truly amazing to see how, just 5 years from the game with this team to where we are now, to see how many of these products I can go to my house and come back. And it's absolutely amazing.
It absolutely is, and what's really a family business over there at Grunt Style, and the family may not be your brothers and sisters by blood, but brothers and sisters in arms, and the patriots who support them, veterans and patriots, making up the team over at Grunt Style, including Marine Corps veteran Tim Jensen, the Chief Operating Officer, and we want to thank Tim so much for joining us on the morning briefing today. That's what you've been listening to, and it's the Friday edition, which is good, because you're almost near the weekend, but it's sad, because you're not going to see us until Monday, but we will be back. Back Monday, 7 o'clock Eastern and Pacific. We've already got some great guests lined up for next week, including Adam Sandoval of Mission Thank You, Harley Davidson. They're giving out those 8 free Harleys to deserving veterans and military members. Adam's going to join us on Monday and tell us even more about that and their last giveaway, which took place just a couple days ago. This has been the Morning Briefing. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Jake Hughes is your producer at Connecting Vets on all social media. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great and safe weekend.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.